The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. This is the Purim edition of the Jewish Hour. We got some really Purim-esque stuff for you. It's going to be upbeat and fun, yes indeedy. In this half hour of the show, not within the spirit of Purim, but hopefully we can do it in the real spirit of Purim, which is V'nahapachu, that what seems what it is just totally completely turns over. We're having the chief rabbi of the Crimea, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Lipschitz, on. He's going to be talking about what's going on over there. And this will also have featured wonderful music, all kinds of Purim stuff. You wouldn't believe the stuff that we're going to play today, folks. Stay tuned for even up to way the closer, even. The portion of the week is Shmini. We're going to tie that into today, of course, the portion of the holiday of Purim. That's in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10 and following. An awesome Hasidic story. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Close to 60 missiles were fired from Gaza into southern Israel this week. Little damage was reported and there are no casualties. In response, IAF planes destroyed 29 targets in Gaza. In response, Hamas fired rockets towards Ashdod and Ashkelon. The Iron Dome intercepted the rockets. An explosion in the southern Gaza Strip killed at least one terrorist and wounded nine more. The explosion occurred during a training session in bomb-making. Sources identified the dead man as Ibrahim Al-Ghul, a local Hamas commander. Three people were killed in an Israeli Air Force strike in southern Gaza. The people killed were terrorists from Islamic Jihad who fired mortar shells at IDF soldiers who were on routine operations. An Arab terrorist was shot to death at the Allenby Bridge crossing to Jordan after he tried to grab the gun of an IDF soldier. The man was identified as a Palestinian who works as a judge in Jordan. Jordan demanded that the Israelis apologize, and the Israelis have indeed apologized. I wonder what that gets him. Two unidentified men assaulted Rabbi Hillel Cohen, who runs the Ukrainian branch of the Hatzalah Emergency Services in Kiev, in a suspected anti-Semitic attack. Cohen was treated for minor injuries in a hospital and is recovering at home. An IDF Skyrider drone plane crashed in southern Gaza following a technical malfunction. The Skyrider is used exclusively as a spy plane. If the drone falls into enemy hands, some technical know-how and intelligence information could be compromised. Israeli tourists were not allowed to get off a Norwegian cruise ship when it stopped off in the port of Tunis in Tunisia. The Israelis were quietly told that they were not welcomed by the Tunisian government. In Israel legal stuff, the Knesset passed three critical bills this week. The governance law, as it's called, requires a party to receive a minimum of 3.25% of the general vote to receive a seat in Knesset. The bill would limit smaller parties from taking seats in the Knesset. The referendum bill would require a vote of the entire Israeli population before land can be given back to the Palestinians. The new law became part of what's called the country's basic law, which makes it almost impossible to change. And the army exemption law requires yeshiva students now to serve in the army. And finally, Israel ranks 53rd in the World Economic Forum's poll on women's rights, meaning these countries who have the best take care of the women the best. The U.S. ranks 5th. Oman, the highest-ranking Arab country, ranks 118th out of 188 countries polled. And that's the news. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Fenman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We're wishing you a happy Purim on our Purim show. We're on with Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Lipschitz, who is the chief rabbi of the Crimea. How are you today, Rabbi Lipschitz?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. Good Lord doesn't let me get bored, that's for sure.
Indeed. Rabbi Lipschitz is a former Detroiter. Spent how many years did you live in Detroit, Rabbi Lipschitz?
I lived in Detroit from 1970 until 1982.
That's 12 years, a Detroiter.
I started the Young Israel of Southfield, started my house, the Chabad of West Bloomfield, Chabad Man Arba, that was my job, starting, preparing new places.
And you did it.
Chabad, then moving on to the next place.
And indeed. Now, what part of the world are you in right now as we're speaking?
As we're speaking, I'm right now in the States.
You're in the United States, okay.
Yes.
So let's go back. I mean, the whole entire world is looking at the Crimea. And I'm sure you're looking at the Crimea in a different way than other people are looking at the Crimea.
I'm just looking at it. I'm actually on the phone with them a few times a day.
Yeah, so tell us what's going on as far as the Jewish community is concerned in Crimea.
For the Jewish community, we have to remember, unfortunately, that history has taught us that whenever there is uprisings and whatever is going on, any not regular things going on, so immediately somehow or another Jews are put in the middle and we're blamed for everything, and unfortunately it can lead to some very serious problems for the Jewish people. This is so far, Baruch Hashem, it hasn't actually happened in that sense yet. We're trusting that God will protect us, especially in this time of Festival of Purim. So we're hoping that it's not going to happen. We're going to see great miracles there, but we are nervous about it because it could very easily turn into something that will be very negative to do.
Okay, the general go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's basically.
Okay, the general population of Crimea, do they identify themselves as Ukrainian, or do they identify themselves as Russian? Do they identify themselves as Russian-Ukrainian, Ukrainian-Russians?
Okay. Basically, the people in Crimea simply want just to be in peace. For 22 years, officially, as the Donbas Republic will go, officially, move on to the Ukraine. Ukrainians didn't bother them, allowed them to run their own government, run their own thing, and they were quite happy. They had no problems with it. Right now, there is upheaval, and that's scaring everybody. Nobody knows what will be. Nobody will be there, and nobody knows what the outcome will be. Russia will leave it as an autonomous republic. Russia takes it over and it remains an autonomous republic. Then most of the people probably will just be, you know, take some difference. Okay, whether it's Russia or Ukraine. It's very difficult to know where the people are because they keep bouncing back. Originally, like two they wanted only the Ukrainians the Russians have taken over the whole Crimea now and have basically taken over the media. And so now the propaganda, of course, is pushing the other way for Russia. And now most people listen to media, whatever media says, that's what they follow. Now, most, probably now, there's a big percentage that's saying Russia. And it's, but it's back and forth. It's not, I can't say one way or the other. And I really am not a political analyst, so I can't even say that. It's what it is. What can I tell you?
That's what you're here to tell us.
The only thing we have to trust on is the fact that the Russians who set up this whole referendum that's going to take place on Sunday, the fact that they chose Burin as the date for the referendum tells us that somehow or another God's going to pull up another prayer miracle here, and it's going to be good.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Rabbi Itzhak Lipschitz. He's the chief rabbi of the Crimea and speaking to us from the United States. I guess we could call him the chief rabbi in exile. If it was me personally, I would say that being in Crimea would be an exile, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, I'm being glib. Mr. Putin has a really good track record with dealing with the Jews. I mean, the Jews in Russia are taken well care of. You have Rabbi Lazar as the chief rabbi of the former Soviet republics, and he's sort of like a confidant. We see a tremendous amount of photo ops together with Putin and in the Jewish communities. Would it be really so bad if Russia were to sort of stretch its arms over Crimea?
Very hard to explain what the problem could be, okay? It's Mr. Putin has made statements which are scary. It's true. His track record is pretty good with the Jews in Russia. But we have no way of knowing, because based on what he's saying, from all the way from the beginning is that has always been that he wants to see Russia, the old Soviet Union, put together again, and in the manner that it was. He is a communist by belief, and once he could put together such a thing, would it remain with this good relationship with the Jews, or would it go back to the relationship that it once had with the Jews way back when, before the Iron Curtain came down? We have no way of knowing, really. It's the way he's thinking, it's not very good. It doesn't bode well. Although he's not saying anything against the Jews at this point. But then again, he's controlling himself in a lot of areas because he's planning something big, that's for sure. Putin over there is not hunky dory. There's groups, although he claims, he says they're not Russians that are going around the street now controlling it. They're not officially wearing any Russian insignia. Yet they are beating up people. There's actually, threats of war going on now. Today I spoke over there with our people over there. They just moved into Crimea to the borders of Crimea, the borders together with Ukraine. They just moved. I don't know if you ever heard of this, 20 Uragan rocket launchers. He one of those rocket launchers and take out the whole city of Simferopol, which is the capital city of Crimea. Every each one of them, there's 20 of them, facing towards Ukraine. Is that a sign that doesn't seem like a healthy sign for Ukraine? There are problems already cropping up in the cities of Ukraine. There's been a day yesterday, there was a major fight between pro-Russians and pro-Ukrainians in Donetsk, a city in Ukraine that's about 80 kilometers from Russia. We definitely have to pray that Purim is going to be a miracle and everything's going to quiet down, everything's going to be fine.
Okay, let's hope so. Now, Russia always maintained a base and a presence in Crimea. It was their gateway to the Black Sea. So people are used to having Russians in Crimea, aren't they not, Rabbi Lipschitz?
All right. They have their navy base. I don't know the history when the breakup. 1989, when breakup was between all the countries in the USSR. So Russia's claiming Crimea, and Ukraine was claiming Crimea. The history behind that is that Crimea really did belong to Russia at one point. But when Khrushchev was prime minister. He was the only prime minister ever in Russian history that was Ukrainian, not Russian. He was Ukrainian. So he turned to the Politburo and he asked them to give as a gift to the Ukrainian people the Crimean.
You're fading out. Did we lose him? We did. We lost him. Okay, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back as we try to get back Rabbi Itchimer Lipschitz.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you can go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Herschel Finman back again. We have Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Lipschitz back, who is the chief rabbi of the Crimea. We lost, you must have gone under a bridge or something there, Rabbi Lipschitz.
So, where did you lose me?
I was just about to ask you another question. We're talking about the relationship with the Russians. You were saying that Khrushchev was a Ukrainian, gave the Ukrainians the Crimea.
Yeah, he gave the gift to the Ukrainian people. When the breakup came, obviously it wasn't meant to Ukrainians to expect breakup. But when the breakup came, so the world stood behind Ukraine in the argument that it belongs to Ukraine, not to Russia. And so Russia agreed to a compromise that because their navy is there in Sevastopol, So they agreed to a compromise that they would that the whole Crimea would remain with Ukraine, towards Ukraine, but Sevastopol would have a dual relationship. It was belonged to Crimea as a partnership with Russia, to Ukraine, with a partnership together with Russia. And that's what it's been for now. And it's worked fine. They actually have been in problems over there. And it's worked really well. But everybody knew that Russia really wanted it back. So now I guess Russia's taking it back.
Okay, so this is actually been fomenting since the early 90s, then, you're saying, Rabbi Lipschitz?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. We who live in security in the Midwest had no idea. Anyway, you're in America. Did you feel it necessary to leave the Crimea?
No, we were told to leave by headquarters because it was already when my wife, I was actually on my way in. I was on my way going towards there from a fundraising trip to America, and I was returning. And I was already in Moscow waiting for my plane to go into Simferopol, Crimea. And it was being delayed, and my wife was in Simferopol. And she was out showing consent because it's surrounded. The city is already surrounded. People didn't know it yet. And the city was already cut off and surrounded. And planes were not going in and out. The roads were blocked off. And the only thing that was still going was a few trains still getting out. And headquarters, when I touched base with headquarters, they told me to not continue your trip to Crimea and get your wife out of there fast. And we tried. Only at the last minute, everything that she tried, which is we had some American the agencies that are familiar with these things, were telling to try and give us advice how to get her out of there, and they were telling, and everything they were telling us, they were behind. Everything they were telling us, she tried, and it was already closed up. And it was the only thing, someone managed to get her, a volunteer from a different city, managed to get her the last ticket for the last train leaving that night into Donetsk in Ukraine. And I continued my flight into the task where I met her with Chavez in the next. Because it was Thursday night. That's when they closed up everything. So we spent in Donetsk for Chavez. Sunday we were able to get out of Donetsk, fly to Moscow and then to New York. Get back to New York.
Okay, so
but we were told to get up, and it's especially dangerous for us, more so than others, even than other shulchan that were not, and also the Crimea got out, but the Ukraine, the other shulchan, most of them are not Americans. We're Americans, and right now Americans are persona non grata throughout Ukraine, throughout Ukraine, and throughout Russia.
Uh-huh.
Russia, everybody's actually blaming America right now for the mess. That's number one, and as well as the Ukrainians are very disappointed that America is not standing up, is not showing any strength here, and so we. Americans are basically persona non grata. They're in danger, and therefore we have to get out.
Okay, so let's talk about what's doing on the ground now. You left behind. You left a synagogue. You left Sefer Torahs, Torah scrolls.
We have synagogue school. miracle took place at the Torah. Our synagogue, we had to put it place in the synagogue because the everything, the center, the synagogue is right across the street from where everything took place. That big demonstration, 30,000 people, it was right up to the synagogue. So it was a dangerous thing for the synagogue to be there. We immediately took off the signs from the synagogue so that those that wouldn't know, that didn't know beforehand the synagogue was there, wouldn't be tempted by it to start taking it out on the synagogue. And then we moved it. Well, we moved over to the house. So we had to get the totems to the house. And my wife told my driver to go pick up the Torah and some books. And the driver said, can't get there. They surrounded, they closed that area, not letting anybody in or out, whether it's not only by vehicle that they're not letting in, they're not even letting people walk in and out from that area. And they're blocking. And my wife just said to me, give it a try. And then she turned around, she wrote a note to the Baruch Rebbe and asked for a chance of blessing that we should have to get those thorns out. And when he got there, so first they stopped him, and he said he has to go in because he has to get the thorns from the synagogue, and the thorns just changed the military. They opened up the way and said, go ahead. They let him in. He got in.
Just like that.
They let him out. They actually apologized for the inconvenience.
Huh, just like that.
Just like that. They got the doors down. Now, we have to get security. We had to get security. We weren't able to set up security properly yet, but we do have guards for Saturday night, for Shabbos and Sunday. And so we are Saturday and Shabbos. Shabbos was going to be in the synagogue. Shabbos night for the Yom was going to be in the synagogue. But Sunday we're going to be in school, which is quite fun because that's when the referendum is, and therefore we definitely don't want to be in that area.
So there is somebody left over there who can run the services, who could read the Megillah.
We're trying to get someone in there to read the Megillah, someone who would know how to read the Megillah. And we weren't able to get anybody in there. We're working on the Holy. We're not able to get it in there. There were people ready to maybe go, and most of them weren't willing to even go. We found one guy from Israel who was willing to take the chance. Except by then, the airport was closed, so we could get him in. So I guess God feel that we should do it. But I was able to speak to an Israeli student who's there, and I asked him, please, spend Shabbos looking it over. He knows how to read Hebrew without the kudot. And I asked him that he should read the Megillah. How is he going to be without the tomb? He doesn't know the tomb. But I asked them to read it so that people should be able to hear it.
At least be able to hear it, indeed. Okay, yes. So unfortunately, we're out of time, and I want to wish you and the entire Crimea that we should fulfill the bracha of v'nahapachu, that things should get turned upside down and inside out, and then hopefully there's a Mashiach at the end of all of this.
That has to be the miracle that God is waiting for.
Okay, and we'll keep us apprised of future developments. And thank you so much. Our guest has been Rabbi Yitzchak Lipschitz, who is the chief rabbi of the Crimea. Wish you and your family continued security, health, and success.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finnan here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. It is Purim, and Purim means to be upbeat and happy. This is a song called Miracles. This is by God Albaz and is featuring Ari Lesser. Let's just listen in.
על הניסים ועל הפורקן ועל הגבורות ועל התשורות על הניסים ועל הפורקן ועל הגבורות
על הניסים ועל הפורקן ועל הגבורות ועל התשורות על הניסים ועל הפורקן ועל הגבורות שעשית לאבותינו בימים ההם בזמן הזה שעשית לאבותינו בימים ההם
redeemed the sons of Israel from Mizraim. For the miracles we saw at the Red Sea, the water split and we walked on feet. For the miracles up on Mount Sinai, we heard the reply of the Most High. For the miracles in the Holy Land, Jericho couldn't stand against God's hand. For the miracles when Goliath got knocked out by David's slingshot. For the miracles of the Maccabees who brought the Greeks down to their knees. For the miracles back in Shushan, God blessed Esther and cursed her mind.
Shasita, Rabotenu, Bayamim Ahem, Bazman Hazeh. Shasita, Rabotenu, Bayamim Ahem.
Been restored within for the miracles happening in my body so everything works when I go to the party for the miracles I can see and smell and hear and touch and taste as well for the miracles that you clothe and feed and provide me with all I need for the miracles that I was born free my work but there's no slavery for me for the miracles that you let me look inside and learn from your holy book for the miracles may they all increase love and light and joy and
ועל הפורקן ועל הגבורות על הניסים ועל הפורקן ועל הגבורות על הניסים ועל הפורקן ועל הגבורות על הניסים ועל הפורקן ועל הגבורות שעשית לאבותינו בימים ההם בזמן הזה שעשית לאבותינו בימים ההם שעשית לאבותינו בזמן הזה שעשית לאבותינו
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Shul Fenman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Ari Lesser's really getting around because this is Lippe Schmelzer featuring Ari Lesser, and the song is simply called Purim.
set the date by casting lots. Father, this party forgot despite the evil plot. Watching over us was God, caused the Jews to fast and pray. It all relates to us today. Joy and simcha pave our way. Wanna feel nostalgic? Throw away logic.
Jews in the kingdom, la Yehudim, we somewhere of a simcha.
Curses Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Pretty high level, but I still gotta try. Starting early, better not be tardy. Who cares if your Ashkenazi is 40? You find all kinds at the forum party. Vodka, Iraq, tequila, Bacardi. Decline on wine, cause I'm a Nazir. But I just had a bourbon, a scotch, and a beer. Can't steer a car, can't even see clear. I'ma grab a cab when I gotta leave here. At my wits end, sipping on slivovitz. Feeling so good when the alcohol hits my bloodstream. I'm drunk, but I can't call it quits. Cause today is a miss, but it just give this. Keep taking shots, cause the booze is cheap. It's half past noon already and deep. And of course the rhyme bomb says we gotta keep drinking till we're so drunk that we fall asleep. If you're not passed out, then the job's not done. Didn't run out of booze, we still got a ton. So let's make a toast to the Holy One. Who knew being Jewish could be so fun?
Jews in the kingdom, La Yehudim, I saw it all the same call.
Scare ya, but I feel like Robert when he shecked it Reb Zera. Tomorrow I might have to bring you back with my prayer.
The art studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the art studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Now, believe it or not, there is a rule that says 30 days before the holiday, you have to at least begin discussing the holiday. 30 days from today, believe it or not, is the first day of Passover. So we have to begin discussing Passover, but it's Purim. So we have to do it in a Purim way of discussing Passover. For your listening pleasure, this is Slim Gaylord, 1933, Matzah Balls.
Oh, well, the matzah balls, gefilte fish, best of dish I ever, ever had. Now, matzah balls and gefilte fish makes you order up an extra dish. Matzah balls, gefilte fish, really, really, really very fine. Now you put a little horseradish on it and make it very mellow, because it really knocks you right on out. order up an extra dish. Matzo ball, gefilte fish. With a little horseradish on the side. Makes it mellow, makes it jello, mellow as a jello boy. Horseradish with matzo ball. Matzo ball stew.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel, and here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. It is Purim, after all, but it's still, we have a portion of the week at the end of the week, right? I mean, by the time we get to Saturday, Purim will be a week over already. We begin the week with Purim. We end it with the portion of Shmini, which is found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10 and following. We would like to see, as I've been doing for the last month, a intrinsic connection between the two. They must be telling us the same thing somehow. And indeed, this one's almost a no-brainer. So the eighth day of the consecration of the tabernacle in the desert is the focus, the primary focus of the portion. That and the animals and kosher animals, which we can tie that into, I suppose. Last week's portion, there was the 7 days of the consecration where Aaron and his sons practiced putting together the sanctuary. Remember, it was portable, and doing dry runs through the various daily sacrifices. Here at the beginning of the portion, the eighth day, it's now showtime. On with the show, this is it. Yes. And the people were very worried. Everybody was very worried because they mucked up with the golden calf. The relationship with the Almighty was greatly adversely affected. The sanctuary was very, very important because it meant that the Jewish people were going to be able to reestablish a relationship with God. If the sanctuary didn't work, it was bad news. As you say, bad news for the Jews. And we see at the Torah, the portion is divided into 7 portions. The fourth portion, it says, Aaron went in, he did his things, and the cloud of glory rested on the sanctuary, and everybody fell on their face, which is a very biblical thing to do, and sang out in praise of God. It meant that it worked. Now, it was specifically and especially that they needed to have a week of preparation first, and on the eighth day. The number 8, we've talked about it before, represents going beyond the laws of nature. We have, for example, Hanukkah, the days of the a baby is circumcised, the bris, the days of Sukkot, the holiday of the tabernacle. These are 8-day holidays or 8-day occurrences, because in order to get to the 8th day, you have to go through an entire week. Being in the week, even Shabbos, even the Sabbath, which culminates the week, is still part of the week. We know we talked about various stories about how keeping Shabbos takes a person above the normal week. But here we're taking it above even that much more. And we're relating to the world as a vehicle. The only reason why the world is here is to be a vehicle for conveying spirituality.
of overcoming the physical limits of the world and relating directly to God. That's what the Jews did in the sanctuary in the desert. They saw the cloud of glory resting on the sanctuary, and they all fell on their face, and they all started singing praises to God. This is what Purim is all about. Because what happened in Purim, as we talked about mentioning with my closing interview with Rabbi Lifshitz, V'nahapahu, what were the Jews doing in Persia? They were doing quite well, as a matter of fact. They had riverfront houses with three chariot garages. Their wives wore the haute couture of Babylon, whatever it was, where the fashion houses were. Their kids were attending the best schools and academies. You had Jews in prominent places in the government and business. Jews were doing okay. And unfortunately, what happens when Jews seem to do okay, they seem to forget about God. Like there's the story of a man who's got his first appointment in New York City. He's got to make this pitch. This is going to make or break his business. And so he flies into LaGuardia Airport and he rents a car. Big mistake. First time to New York. When you have to go to Manhattan, never take a car. It's a liability. And he realizes now he's circling around the block for 10 minutes. He can't find a parking space, and it's 5 to 9. He's got a 9 o'clock appointment. And he says, please, God, I'll give half of what I make from this deal if I get a parking space. Right then a car pulled out. And he pulled right in. He said, thanks, God. Never mind. I found it myself. That's what the attitude was. I can do it myself. So God said, you could do it yourself. Let's see what happens when you're faced with annihilation. And it's a very interesting thing, because Haman's decree of annihilation was against Jews. All a person had to do was opt out. I'm not Jewish anymore. I'm Persian. Hello. I'm changing the name, you know. Not one Jew did that. Every single Jew said, I'm going to relate like my great-grandfather related. When they saw the cloud of glory falling on the sanctuary, they fell on their face and sang praises to God. That's what the Jews did en masse. And the decree of annihilation was converted, overturned, and became the biggest holiday on the Jewish calendar. That's what Purim is all about. We have to take a quick commercial break. You're not going to want to miss this Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Shulfman, here you're listening to the Jewish Shower. It is our 18th anniversary. We're doing that right now. And of course, March is our anniversary month. So go to RabbiFinman.com and become a member of the Jewish Hour family by contributing $36. Do it right there. It's all very safe and secure. Or you could send your donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. You don't have to limit it to $36. Any donation of more than $36, of course, will get you a membership to the Jewish Hour family. The story, which I've been so anxious anticipation to tell it, I'm so like chomping at the bit over here. 1953, the holiday was Purim. The Lubavitch Rebbe was the leader of the Lubavitch Hasidic movement, was holding a Hasidic gathering. The gathering started at 9:30 p.m. on Purim night and continued well into the morning. At one point, the Rebbe became very, very, very serious. You could see his look on his face that something was going on. And he suddenly just stopped what he was talking about, and he told a story. And he said, when the communist Russia, excuse me, when the Tsar was overtaken in 1917 in the revolution, the Bolsheviks, they decided that they're going to hold elections for elected officials for the Dunam, whatever they call the Duma. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe at that time, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Rashab, let it be known that all of his followers must vote. So there's one guy, lives in a village. He doesn't know from nothing. He doesn't even know what an election is. But he knows that his Rebbe, his mentor, told him he must do it. So he took this as a commandment from Sinai. He woke up early in the morning, and he went to the mikveh to immerse himself in the ritualarium, and he davened with fervor, and he put on his prayer belt, and he walked to the polling place. He had no idea what a polling place is. He didn't know what to do. Someone had to show him who to vote for, what that. Then he sees there's a demonstration. Somebody's making a campaign speech. And at the end of the camp speech, now, in America, when somebody gets done and everybody's finished, everybody's very happy, everybody goes, hooray! Okay? In Russia and most of Europe, they don't say hooray. They say hurrah. So they say hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. Okay? In Hebrew, if you break it up, the expression hurrah means he is bad. So he's sitting there, and this guy made this speech. His Russian's probably not very good. And everybody's going, hoorah, hoorah, hoorah. So he's also going, hoorah, hoorah. And he's saying, this guy's bad, this guy's bad, this guy's bad. That's what he thinks he's saying. So Lubavitcher Rebbe said, I think now what's going on in Russia, it would be appropriate if we all joined together and said, hoorah. And this went on, I don't know how long it went on for, but the entire assembled throng of mass began shouting, hoorah, hoorah, hoorah. At just about that time, Stalin had a major stroke, which left him brain dead for 3 days, and then he died. So whether something was going on over there, who knows? It's hard to say. That's going to do it for the show. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great Purim v'nahapachu. Remember, it has to be totally different than every other day. You can go hear the Megillah, give gifts of charity to the poor, give gifts of food to your friends, eat a good meal. Have a good week, and we'll see you back again next week. Take care.